You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and these are my interviews with the star from Disney's Encanto, Stephanie Beatrice, and the director, Byron Howard, and the co-directors and co-writers, Jared Bush and Therese Castro-Smith.
I gave you the special since you're the only Madrigal kid with no gift. I call it the not special special since, you have no gift.
Thanks.
I am Matt Neglia with Next Best Picture, and I'm here today with Stephanie Beatrice. Stephanie, how are you today?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Doing really, really well. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today about your newest role in Disney's Encanto.
Thank you. I'm so excited to talk about it.
I'm very excited for you in general this year, having both this and In the Heights come out in the same year. Can you first talk to me a little bit about this surge that we're seeing right now in representation in Hollywood and different stories being finally told from these unique perspectives that are celebrating culture, family, life? It feels that those two projects in particular are really highlighting that in a way that is just so wholesome this year.
That's a really great word to describe it, wholesome, right? I think we've had a hard time for a little while. It's been very difficult for very many people for lots of reasons. And so I think one of the things that I'm so proud of is that I've been able to lend, you know, whatever artistic talent that I have, lend it to a project that hopefully is going to bring a lot of people a lot of joy. I think Encanto is such a beautiful film. It's visually stunning, but it's also this like incredible adventure. Mm-hmm. And there's so much joy and celebration at the heart of the film, which I think audiences are really desiring. And honestly, they deserve it.
Mirabelle is a really great character as well. One that we don't typically see, I feel, that often in animation. And so I was curious to know that when you were first presented with the role, what qualities did you see in her that immediately jumped out at you?
I mean, first of all, like the fact that I even got to audition for a Disney film was already a dream come true. It was like, what? For real? They want to hear me audition for this?
Your brain starts going back to your childhood and the movies you used to watch. Yeah,
I mean, I still do. I'm a huge Disney fan, like an intense Disney fan. Like I had my bachelorette party at Disneyland. Like it really is to me the happiest place on earth. And so just the audition alone was incredible. And then I got to meet Byron and Jared, who are the director and co-director of Zootopia, who worked on this film along with Therese Castro, who wrote the script with Jared. And the fact that like I was getting to meet them was another step. So like then on top of that, then they hired me to do it, you know, and then they're showing me like pictures of what the character is going to be like. I was like losing my mind. As a kid, all you want and desire is to be like your heroes, like the heroes of the stories that you identify with. And so as a kid, I identified so deeply with all of the, not only the Disney heroes, but the Disney heroines too, but all of them across the board. And now here I was going to get to embody one of them myself. It's like, it feels totally insane. And also I'm deeply, deeply grateful for it because when I was 7 years old, if I had seen a film like Encanto, I think it would have really meant something deeply special to me. I mean, alone, the fact that Belle read books in Beauty and the Beast, I felt like I saw myself. I was like, oh, look at the nerdy girl that only wants to read books and doesn't really care about much else, you know, just wants to learn about the world. And now Mirabelle's come on the scene. It's really, really, really special to me.
Speaking of special, Mirabelle and her family are bestowed these gifts, or rather, everybody except Mirabelle.
Yes.
And I'm curious to know that if you had this magical experience where a gift could be bestowed upon to you, what would you like your gift to be?
I mean, sometimes I want to answer something like very magnanimous, like I would want to be a world peacemaker. And then other times I want to answer, you know, I'd like to be able to teleport so that I could, you know, just be on time for everything ever and never, ever have to sit in traffic. I think, yeah, I mean, it's a fun thing to think about, right? Because like, no, that's really ever going to happen. But wouldn't it be dope to be invisible for a day? Wouldn't it be great to be able to shapeshift? Like, woo, what a fun, like, what a gift. And yet, and think about this. Think about if mm-hmm. every single member of your family had one of those magical gifts except for you. What your brain and your sort of sense of self. I think it's really fun to see Mirabelle struggle with feeling like, oh man, I'm never going to be able to, how can I compete with this? You know, mm-hmm. it's like legitimately every single member of her family except for her.
You know, one of the things about doing an animated film is a lot of the times the parts are recorded separately. Have you had a chance at all to interact with any of the cast members that are associated with this film, or have you guys not had a chance to mingle because of not only just animation, but also, of course, obviously with the pandemic going on too?
Yeah, we did a lot of things separately, much more so than is normal because of the global pandemic, but also we got to have a big meeting on our computers with everyone there, and we all got to meet each other.
That's nice.
And it was really special because I think for each of us, Diane and I were talking about this, Diane, who plays Isabella, my sister in the film, each of us was sort of doing this thing separately in our own little booths or boxes, you know, and then in this online meeting with everyone together, it was like all these little squares of everyone's faces and hearing their voices and seeing their voices come out of their mouths felt very, it all started to feel very real. Like we'd done it. We'd made a film and now other people are going to see it. And it was so fun. Lin-Manuel Miranda and I have been friends since our 20s. We've known each other since our 20s.
Nice.
So it's been very, very fun to see him again on this project. I've been lucky enough to work with him a couple times now. But having everyone together in that meeting room was really special. So I'm really looking forward to meeting everyone in person for the premiere because I think almost everyone will be here.
That's great. Yeah. You mentioned Lin before. He wrote the songs for this film, and you have a couple of songs in this movie as well. But I'm curious to know, is there anyone else in the cast that has a song that you, as a fan, are like, oh, I really wish I could have sang that song?
Not so much. I don't think Lin-Manuel wrote these incredible songs, and the ones that I'm singing were just right for me.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I love listening to, I love Sebastián Yatra's Dos Oruguitas. I
think
beautiful, incredibly beautiful song. One of the first that Lin-Manuel has written entirely in Spanish, I believe. But all the songs are really, I mean, Jessica Darrow's work on Pressure is like so good. There's so many.
That was a banger. Yeah.
It's so good, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's really fun to see Lin-Manuel stretch himself in this way because we know his incredible work in Moana. We know his incredible work in the theater. But I think Encanto is really like another level of Lin, sort of like another level of his masterful art. I'm really looking forward to people hearing. I'm looking forward to people hearing these songs and like embracing them as their own, because I think that's really how Lin writes. He writes to give this music away.
Hi, I'm Christina Yerling-Biro, host of the podcast Pop Culture Confidential. Join me as I go way behind the scenes with some of the most influential people in entertainment and media. Hear actors such as Succession's Brian Cox talk about his favorite characters to play.
There always has to be a mystery. The audience have to be in a situation where they want to know what's going on.
Meet studio execs like Pixar chief Pete Docter and learn his secret on how he makes us cry.
Emotion is our first language.
And so many others who are defining popular culture, from Obama speechwriter David Litt to Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi.
We don't often think about food politically, or we don't want to, but it really is.
Join me. Search for Pop Culture Confidential wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to, but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm very, very happy to hear about, you know, your experience on the film. And also, too, I got to say, it's a very, very beautiful, wonderful story. Wholesome, as mentioned earlier, made me cry by the end. I held back tears all throughout. So thank you so, so much for your time today. And thank you so much for your work on this. It really was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
No gift. I am just as special as the rest of my family.
Who wants more pink?
All right, guys, where do I drop the wagon?
Maybe your gift is being in denial.
Ugh. All right, so I'm being joined right now by Byron Howard, Jared Bush, and Charisse Castro Smith. How are the three of you doing today?
Great.
Yeah, really well.
Good to see you.
Fantastic. I love it. Now, we've got a director. We got a director, co-writer, co-director, co-writer here. I guess I want to first start off by asking who handles, who does what exactly on a large scale animated feature like this? Because these things take years to develop.
Yeah, well, I'll jump in. I mean, honestly, it took all of us. It is pretty crazy. The script, I will say, was monumental. So Jared and Charisse just did an incredible job teaming up and creating something so beautiful and emotional. And also the cultural element was so important to us. It was incredibly important to get that right. I think it took the three of us to really wrangle this thing, because like you said, this one took almost 5 years to create. And so all of us, especially during this last year and a half of production, are all in these rooms with the animators and the designers, feeding ideas back and forth and just really beating the story up. What would you guys add to that? Any other thoughts?
I was going to say, Byron's our lord of
of the dance. Yes.
Yes. Lord of the dance. No, but seriously, it is a collab, an intensely collaborative effort, not just between the three of us, but between so many people at the studio. I mean, there's around 800 people who worked on this film. Wow. And all of them, every single department, the actors that have worked on this, just everyone has added just passion and talent and just really deep generosity to this. So it's the three of us collaborating, but it's just really such a much larger team effort. And everyone has worked so hard on this film and I think done an incredible job.
That's fantastic. Jared, this is your first time directing. You previously have written a couple of films, and Charisse, same thing as well here. First film credit, actually. You've worked previously on stage and also on television. So for the two of you, I'm curious to know, has this experience of directing an animated feature film given you the confidence, the itch, whatever you want to call it, to continue to do more in the future? With animation.
I can probably speak for both of us. It's really easy and low stress. So that's the biggest thing I learned. I mean, I think like Charisse was saying earlier, it's honestly, it takes so many people working so hard. I think the really exciting thing is as a director, you just have your hands in way more things. And you actually get to have way more conversations with a lot of people that are super smart, way smarter than you. And so really, I think it's this amazing opportunity I learned so much over the course of this movie about cinematography, about lighting, we have 12 main characters. Each one of them has a different clothing design. The cloth has to move correctly. Those are all different fabrics. Those are all choices that have to be made. Mm-hmm. And people are working really, really hard to make that come to life. The way, you know, we have a lot of different hair textures. What are those like? And so I think as a director, honestly, it's your job to hopefully have the entire movie in your head. And so as you're making choices on a micro level, you're thinking about how that affects the sort of the macro feel of the movie. So I think that's the biggest thing. But honestly, it's so collaborative, and everyone's kind of doing all of those jobs concurrently. It's kind of like more of a delicious meal that you love to eat.
I asked this question to Stephanie the other day, and I I wanted to ask all three of you, you know, you're talking a lot about choices here, and I'm curious to know if you had the choice of a gift to be bestowed upon you, what gift would you like to have? What magical gift?
This is always a tough question. I come back to flying a lot because I think it would do a lot to me a lot of good. I'm terrified of heights. And if I could just fly, if I fell off something high, I could just fly away. It'd be fine. So I always come back to flying. How about you guys?
I'm going to go with the ability to communicate with animals today. Because I just want to know what is in my sweet little dog, Ralph's head.
I think for me, I'd love the power to be able to grow a mustache and a beard that connects. I just can't do it. I look sickly when I try to grow facial hair. I would love that gift.
I'm clean shaven today, but sometimes I do also struggle a little bit. I have to give it time for it to actually get there in place.
Time doesn't help me.
So my next question is, in telling this story, I do feel that this story is extremely beautiful and very heartfelt. I was moved to tears by the end. And this is also a culture that is fairly new to someone like myself, but it also has a universal quality to it. And so I'm curious to know for each of you, what is the one thing that you wanted audiences to take away from watching this film? And I mean, this could be broad, it could be specific, just for you, what was like your mission statement, if you will, when you were making this?
Sure, I can jump in. So when Byron and Jared approached me to come onto this film as a writer, they said it's a magical house. Everyone in this house is magical. It's a big magical family. And one of these people, one girl, does not have magical powers. And I think to me, that was what made me just desperate to work on this, because I was like, to me, this movie, one of the stories of this movie is about a girl who is 14 years old and questioning who she is in the world and trying to figure out her value, her worth, trying to figure out who she is in relation to other people. And she goes on this incredible journey and gets to know people in her family and a much deeper level. And by the end, really, I think, knows herself and knows her own worth and knows her own value and doesn't question that anymore. So to me, that was something that I was really excited about from the very beginning. And is one of the things I love the most about this film.
Love it.
Yeah, I'd say for me, related to that, I think that when we began the journey of Encanto, we started talking to our own families and we started to ask them questions. And I was actually stunned by how little I knew of my family. And I mean, like my nuclear family, yes, extended family. As I really started asking questions, I realized how much I didn't know, how many assumptions I made. Even my siblings, like life choices that I always assumed meant one thing, I was 180 degrees wrong about it. And so for me, I really hope that people walk out of the theaters asking questions of their family or their friends or their communities. You know, I think so often we make assumptions, we kind of judge people, or we only see sort of this one dimension and there's all these other facets. And so for me, I think that it was a huge discovery personally, and I'm hoping that people find that for themselves.
Yeah, just to kind of like add to, I agree with both these guys and kind of like also bring it together. I think we're so tied up in what our own self-worth is and we're so in our heads that it blinds us to looking deeper at our family members, like Jared said, even people outside of your family. Even Mirabel's name has the word look in it in Spanish, and she's wearing those glasses for a reason. Like we knew looking deeper was going to be a motif in the movie, so that's a very conscious choice on our part. And the fact that even like the 800 people that we worked with on this film, every one of them has a different story that we know almost nothing about. We know just like a tiny, tiny bit of what we see every day, but man, the depth that people have in their lives is truly incredible when you take a chance and actually get closer and ask some questions and take a look.
Great responses, everyone. Congratulations on the movie. I'm sure audiences are going to love it, and best of luck to you in the weeks to come.
Thanks,
Matt.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to my interviews with the star from Disney's Encanto, Stephanie Beatriz, and the director, co-directors, and co-writers, Byron Howard, Jared Bush, and Charisse Castro-Smith here on the Next Best Picture podcast. Disney's Encanto is now playing in theaters. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you'll get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
Hey there.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.